Welcome back to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore on WKAR. We're glad you're here. Michigan will receive $2.5 million resulting from the DocX decision. Do you remember what DocX is? This is the robo-signing scandal that Attorney General Bill Schuette filed suit over late last year, as I recall, and Michigan will receive $2.5 million in that decision. There were 1,000 cases of robo-signing in the state of Michigan, and 300 of them came from Ingham County. I think we have Register of Deeds Curtis Hertel Jr. to thank for the fact that there were 300 names as a part of that lawsuit filed by the Attorney General, but it came back in our favor, at least to the tune of $2.5 million. I'm thinking Curtis Hertel may argue that it was worth an awful lot more, but he does refer to it as a step in the right direction in this morning's Lansing State Journal treatment of the story. It is Friday. Republicans and others at the state capitol, including Governor Rick Snyder, want to reform Michigan's no-fault auto insurance system. They maintain that Michigan's law, which apparently is the only in the country to offer unlimited lifetime medical benefits, has led to excessively high rates. Here is the governor 16 days ago in his State of the State address.
We are the 10th most expensive state in the nation. In terms of no fault, in terms of claims coming in, the severity of claims, we far exceed every other state in how expensive our claims are. The average claim in Michigan is $44,000. The other next two states are $17,000 and $10,000. And that leads to high auto insurance costs for people, our citizens, our customers. And we have three of the top 10 most expensive states in the nation for auto insurance. We have Detroit at number one. We have Novi at number six, and we have Muskegon at number nine. It's time for some reforms, folks. And the two reforms I'm talking about is, first, we should reform no fault. It is time to do that in a thoughtful way.
Reformers maintain each driver should be allowed to define his or her own level of personal injury protection coverage. Again, the existing law requires unlimited lifetime medical care for car-related injuries. How does that work? Well, personal injury protection, or PIP claims in Michigan, that exceed $500,000 are reimbursed to insurance companies from payments every Michigan driver makes that are determined by the nonprofit Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. Now, defenders of the current law, including one of our guests, maintain the latest catastrophic claims increase from last summer was politically motivated. They go on to doubt the competence of the Comprehensive Claims Association over its money management. This is one complicated issue, and here to help us understand it better, Pete Kuhnmensch of the Insurance Institute of Michigan and an insurance industry lobbyist. Hi, Pete.
Morning.
And Butch Hollowell is a spokesman for CPAN, the Coalition Protecting Auto No-Fault, which opposes auto no-fault reform. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning, Mark.
Please do your best, to keep your answers as simple as you can and, if possible, avoid the weeds. We want to help our listeners and this program's host understand as clearly as possible what this debate is really about. Let's focus at the beginning on the larger issue of no-fault reform. Pete Kuhnmensch, does the governor have it right? Are rates too high, and should PIP coverage not be unlimited?
Well, we agree with that generally. As you pointed out earlier, Michigan's the only state that requires a lifetime unlimited medical benefit. And with the advent of the Affordable Care Act and excuse me, the broader exposure of health insurance for all of us, hopefully, we think it's time to have a debate on maybe that's a duplicative mandate here in Michigan. I want to emphasize we support the no-fault system here in Michigan. We think it's the right public policy for our consumers. But we've got a system that was designed 40 years ago that has a high unmatched mandate, two very high utilization as a result of the broad benefits that are available under that. And because, quite frankly, of an anomaly in the law, we're required to pay the highest medical reimbursement rates of any other insurance category. So we'd like to address those things. And quite frankly, we think PIP choice, being able to choose that level of medical coverage, makes a lot of sense, particularly for certain categories of consumers, like our seniors who might already be covered by a full complement of Medicare benefits.
And right now, every Michigan driver pays, I gather, just over $200 a year to reimburse catastrophic claims, things like brain injuries, spinal cord injuries. Is that right?
Well, I think you're referring to the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, and yeah, it's not a simple answer, but the assessment on that is $175 currently per year.
$175,
and it's the insurance company that's required to pay that to the association, to the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association.
But every Michigan driver pays $175 a year in order to cover those excessive claims due to catastrophic injuries.
Well, they pay a premium that includes that amongst a host of other costs, yes. That would be included typically in your premium that you pay for your auto insurance each year.
Butch Hollowell of CPAN, why is Michigan auto no fault the way it is a good thing?
Well, we do agree that it is a good thing because as Governor Milliken set the statute up back in the 1972, it provides some certainty for people who have been injured, got rid of a lot of the lawsuits, and provides health care benefits to people who need them. So there's certainty that's in the system. And I think Pete and I both agree that rates are too high and reform is needed. What we disagree on is how that reform should look. And you played a clip from the governor where he said a few things such as there needs to be thoughtful reform. And you know, one thing that's a misnomer out there when he says that is that we have lifetime unlimited benefits. That isn't true. The statute says that there needs to be reasonable and necessary, quote unquote, benefits. So what that means is it might be that the companies would say, we're not going to cover this, we're not going to cover that. My dad is a doctor. Every day a company might say, I'm not going to cover that procedure or that procedure, or you might end up in court. The insurance industry has a lot of lawyers where they'll say, we're not going to pay that kind of benefit. So it's not lifetime unlimited. It's reasonable and necessary. The other thing the governor said,
Pete,
was
– let's get Pete Kumench to respond to that first.
Sure,
off.
Yeah.
Unlimited or not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, even in very prominent plaintiff's attorney George Sinus, his website repeats that lifetime unlimited benefit here in the state of Michigan. Butch is right on the statutory language relative to all reasonable and necessary, but the court interpretations of that have been and the reserves that are required to pay for these benefits are for an unlimited nature in the sense of the entire lifetime of an individual. And we're particularly talking about those with these catastrophic injuries. Without a doubt, they receive benefits throughout their entire life, both for medical services, rehabilitation services, and attendant care services, which extend as long as they're alive.
But he's got a point in that insurance companies resist some of these claims, do they not?
Well, insurance companies, have to, under the mandate of the law, are required to pay these benefits. Now, whether or not we reimburse for an experimental treatment that maybe may not be accepted within the general medical community, things like that. But outside of that, it's a very, very generous benefit with regards to its comprehensiveness. And I think we're just simply going to disagree there, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah,
over.
Providers will say that it's not experimental. There are a lot of very basic kinds of treatments that are not covered. And, you know, the other thing that the governor said was that during the speech was that I'm a CPA. He made a point of saying that. And I wrote that
a few times.
A few times. And so I think the reason that that's important is because we've actually had to sue the MCCA so that we could get a hold of the books. We got a decision in December from a judge saying, you know, this is all public money. That's the assessment, $175 that you've talked about. But that it's been closed to the public, and we want to open up those books so that we can determine whether or not the rates that are being charged are fair. The truth is we do pay some of the highest rates in the nation. In Detroit, yes, it is the highest in the nation. And so this contributes to a lot of people driving without insurance. Across Michigan, it's almost a third who are driving without insurance. And so we have to reform the system, but not by gutting the health care benefits. There are other ways, such as prior review for rate increases, allowing refunds for overcharging, making sure that if you file a claim and you're not at fault, then they shouldn't be able to increase your rates. These are all kinds of things that should be considered.
Let's get into the machinations of the Catastrophic Claims Association. This is the nonprofit that determines this amount that all Michigan drivers pay to cover these most expensive claims, $175 a year currently, as I understand it. Your group alleges that the recent proposed increases. Did the rate not just go up recently?
It did, by 21%, which was really a disgrace because last year total assets in the MCCA, revenues were up by $1 billion, and their total assets were up by $2.4 billion. And this was at the same time that they increased the assessment on Michigan consumers by 21%. So the numbers just don't add up.
You allege they're politically motivated?
Yeah, we think that they did that so that they could move legislation along that would be more in their favor. And we want to be able to look at the books and so that we can determine it's all our money. It's taxpayer money. Those assessments come out of the pocketbooks of Michiganians who have to drive. And so we want to look at what their rate-making data is. What are their loss development factors, you know, the patterns? What are the trend factors, the years associated with frequency and severity? What are the expense allocations?
Okay, we got that. Let's be absolutely clear about what you're saying, though. You are alleging that the Catastrophic Claims Association is unjustifiably hiking these payments to give the governor and other reformers an opening to justify reform?
Yes, we believe that very strongly because...
Okay.
Yes.
You made your point. Pete Kunmich?
Well, the bottom line is we disagree with Judge Kennedy's decision, obviously, and claiming that this should be open to the Freedom of Information Act, and that's the tenets of what the case involves. And quite frankly, 90% of what he required to be disclosed under this court case is already available. But let me point out a couple factors. One, this is not a public body. In fact, it's clear in state statute, you know, that it's not a state agency, and that's language out of the statute, and it's not state money. Again, the MCCA is a reinsurance mechanism. The contract for your insurance is between you and your insurance company. The MCCA was actually created five years after the enactment of No Fault, and its design was to protect the solvency of small insurance companies, Mark. Not to pay benefits directly. That's an obligation of the insurance company. Whether the MCCA exists or not, the insurers must pay those benefits. The MCCA was designed to protect the solvency of many of our small domestic insurers because what happened back in 1978, 5 years after the enactment of No Fault, many of these small companies realized that these unlimited claims put their companies at risk. And the legislature recognized that and stepped in and developed this reinsurance mechanism called the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. And that obligation to pay that benefit exists whether or not the MCCA is in operation or not. And the liability to pay that benefit rests solely with the companies. The state has absolutely no skin in this game. Now, with regard to the judgment from Judge Kennedy, we really think he's got it wrong. As I said earlier, 9 out of the 10 elements of his disclosure is already open to the public through their website. I'd encourage him to go to the Michigan Catastrophic Claims website at www.michigancatastrophic.com and look at it.
90% of this data is already available, Butch?
Totally untrue. And if anybody goes to that website and they look at it, what they'll find is disclosed is financial data. That is data that these are the assets that we have and this is the money that we've paid out. That has nothing to do with rate-making data, which is the crucial thing in terms of how rates are set. So, for example, it's kind of like voodoo what a lot of actuaries do, but we want to know what that voodoo is. That is, what are the patterns that they look at in terms of the payouts? And what is the frequency of these kinds of claims? And what contingencies have they loaded in there? And what years did they look at? Did they look at all last 10 years or just did they cherry-pick these 3 years? None of that is disclosed. That is the critical information. And let me just say something else. In the MCCA, the numbers do not add up. In addition to what I said before about revenues being up, you also have a major reduction in Michigan in terms of the number of serious accidents. And so it's unexplainable. And it's because it's taxpayer money, we deserve to be able to have the books opened so we can examine it independently.
Again, Mark, it is not taxpayers' money. Again, the structure is such that the state is not on, it's part of your premium. The MCCA charge is one of dozens of factors that affect the price of your annual premium. What is important is that the claims are paid on time directly by the insurance companies, and individual insurance companies are then reimbursed by the MCCA after the fact. So it doesn't really have specific impact on your, the recipient of your benefits. You know, in the
aren't
last
drivers
time,
taxpayers though?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, of course they are.
Absolutely.
But you're claiming they're not. It's not taxpayers' money. It's if it's drivers' money, it's taxpayers' money. Pretty much the same, aren't they?
It's a forced reinsurance mechanism to help protect the solvency of insurance companies, whether or not it exists or not. You're going to pay a premium for that benefit that we have here in Michigan, that unlimited benefit. If the MCCA didn't exist, insurers would have to purchase private reinsurance. At the time, back in 1978, it wasn't available.
Okay.
So, to the extent that, you know, we can argue about whether or not, in fact, it is private money, the reality is, you know, the last time the public injected themselves in this thing, the MCCA, they were kind of backed into a corner and forced to rebate $1.2 billion to the ratepayers. That was great because at the time they had a surplus. Now the fund faces over a $2 billion deficit. It would have been great to have that money now.
We've got to wrap up. We're out of time. We should have scheduled a half an hour for this. We really appreciate both of you coming in. Butch Hollowell of CPAN, Pete Kunmensch of the Insurance Institute of Michigan. Many thanks.
Thank you. Taxpayer money.